You know, last week we did the Abbott and Costello thing on opening day, and I said that never gets old. For me, that song never gets old. I don't know why. It just doesn't. I'm not so sure that that can be said of our next guest joining us by the telephone, Tony Tenniel of the Captain and Tenniel. Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Good morning, Tim. I'm pretty old, I have to admit. But
not any older than I. It's all a state of mind, right?
Yeah, well, sort of. Well, go ahead. Ask me anything you want.
Let me ask you. Are you sick of the Love Will Keep Us Together? I mean, it was one of the songs that arguably, you know, rocketed you to fame back in, when was that really, 77, 8?
75 was 75, when it went number one that summer, yeah. And won the Grammy in 76, yeah. No, you never get tired of that. I never do because I'm so grateful for that song. I mean, that's the one that kicked off our career. The tricky part would have been coming up with a follow-up, and we were able to do that, so that was good.
Many, many of them. Yeah, it was was a whole different time in the record industry than it is today.
It was.
And really back then, the labels had a lot to say about what the performers did, did they not?
They did, but you know, one of the reasons why Daryl and I signed with A&M, and we had our choice of several major labels at that time after struggling for a long time, was that Herb Alpert, you know, who owned A&M, had a theory that if you let your artists do their thing on their own, they will, and if that works, they don't need a producer. In our case, they said, instead of using a staff producer, that Daryl and I could produce our own records, and if they worked and we had hits, we wouldn't have to use a staff producer. So we were able to make it uniquely our own sound, not with anybody else's input.
The reason we're chatting today, Tony, is you're out with a book, your memoir, self-titled, Tony Tenniel, a memoir, which, as I was reading the primer, I must say my heart sank a little in understanding that, like many performers, the persona that was there in front of the audience and what was happening behind the scenes was not necessarily quite the same.
Well, yeah, and that was one of the reasons it took me so long to make up my mind that I needed to make my go my own way. And I felt bad about that all those years that I was trying to get Daryl to, I don't know, he was a very closed-in person, always. But I had hoped that I could bring him out and show him, you know, the joy. He never seemed to have the joy of the music that I did. And yet he was a brilliant producer. And that was the one thing that we had in common, was the music we could create together. I know that he thought I was a great singer, and he thought I was a wonderful songwriter, and I inspired him, I guess, and he certainly did inspire me because I could write anything just about, and he would make a great record of it. And it was just thrilling to hear that. And all that time I kept thinking, okay, if I'm just patient, I can understand him and I can, you know, bring him into the light, so to speak. But it never happened, unfortunately.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and let me say, having... I kind of did the Evelyn Wood speed reading version through the book initially here. But your treatment of your history together with Daryl, I thought was gracious. It clearly showed a long history of marriage and being together and respect for him. And it is a lot of insights into Daryl Dragon that we all saw as kind of this mysterious character, even when we saw him on the television show and in other places where you and he would appear together. He always kind of had that, at least for me, that aura of mysterious. I was like, what's really going on with this guy? And he's a really great musician, and it was fun to watch him play, but you never really knew much about him. And as you say, that was kind of how he preferred it.
Well, that, you know, Daryl was never anything you saw on television, or, you know, that was just Daryl. He was never comfortable in social situations. He always, even when he was in bands working in bars when he was a teenager, he always wanted to be in the background. That's what he preferred. And then, you know, when he and I started working together, I think he realized I could take care of being the front person, and he could just be in the back and do his thing. But I always thought, I'm just like you, I was trying to figure him out all that time as well. And I just, it kind of broke my heart that I was never able to. But, you know, we still talk. I still talk to him, you know, every week or 10 days or so to see how he's doing. Because I care. I really care about him. But unfortunately, he lives in a negative world, and he always has, and I felt myself being dragged down into that. And I knew when I was looking around, I went, wait, you know, I may have 15 good years left, and I want to live them in the light. I don't want to be dragged down into. But he seems to be happy in that state. You know, mm-hmm. When I call him, I'll say, how are you? And he'll say, oh, I'm a C+ or a C-. He's just always Daryl.
Well, before we run completely out of time with you, the book is out now. Is that correct, or very soon out?
We're on our second printing, okay. And it's also out in the Audible version, which I did.
That you narrate, that you read.
I do.
Oh, fantastic.
I do. Who else could narrate me? My words, but me.
That's a really good point. It's called Tony Tennille, A Memoir. I'm assuming mm-hmm. it's in all the channels that are available out there now that you can get a hold of it. Now, one might have to ask, and it will be the final thing I probably have a chance to ask you, why a book? Why the feeling that you wanted to do this after all these years?
I think I wanted our fans to understand why I made the decision that I made, although I actually started it way back when I was first born in Alabama. I wanted fans to understand why I made the decision that I did, and then they could make up their own minds whether they thought what I did was right or what they thought what I did was wrong, and I should have stayed with him for the rest of his life and my life. You know, sometimes there are big, hard decisions you have to make in your life, and you just have to go for it. And I had the support and help of wonderful family and friends that helped me make this decision.
Well, it'll be an interesting read, and I would tell people, you know, if you're afraid of it shattering your perception of the Captain and Tennille, it really doesn't do that, Tony, and I congratulate you on that. I think it's a great memoir, and for my 2 cents worth, the best smile ever in the music industry from Tony Tennille. It's such a pleasure to talk to you today.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Tony Tennille on your talk show on WCLO. We will be back in just a little bit.
Muskrat, candlelight, doing the town and doing it right in the evening. It's pretty pleasing. Muskrat Susie, Muskrat Sam, do the jitterbug out in Muskrat Land, and they shimmy.